Well, we're going to turn to the same passage of Scripture that we looked at last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the story, and boy, did we ever. We unpacked that the best we were able, because this story is so deep and so rich and has so much to say. And this morning, I want to think more about the challenge that Jesus leaves us all with to go and do likewise. In your, if you're a regular attender here, in your mailboxes, there is a supplement to this message, and I want to encourage you this afternoon to take a good look at it and to think about it as you consider your own response to Jesus' challenge. So let's read the story together, and then we'll spend some time reflecting on it. Verse 25, chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke. Luke says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responded by saying, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the man replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus replied, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. And then Luke tells us, but he wanted, that is to say, the expert in the religious law, he wanting to justify himself, asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. When I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Now, verse 36, Jesus said, which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. What is God calling you and I and this church to be and do? What is he calling us to be and do? Of all the stories that Jesus told, perhaps this one gets most directly at the heart of this question. It's a story about how central our calling to make a difference in this world really is. John Ortberg, a pastor and author, tells about a survey done several years ago of people who were preparing for ministry at a seminary. And they were assigned a text, and they were told to reflect on that and to prepare a talk on this text, and then to go to the building on the other side of the campus, and in that lecture hall, then present what they have prepared. And so they did. And so they went. And they went on their way one by one. And crossing the campus, they had to go through an alley in which a man who had been made up as if he were badly beaten was lying. And you know, what's so fantastic about this, what is so fascinating about this, is that the largest majority of these students who were preparing for ministry did not stop in that alley to see what the problem was, did not stop and try to help this apparently very injured man. Apparently they didn't want to be late or were too busy rehearsing their talk as they were going from one side of the campus to the other. Want to guess what passage they were given to speak to and about? It's this one that we read just a few minutes ago. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Would you agree that there is a difference between knowing and doing? Would you agree that there's a difference between giving our intellectual assent and living it out in our lives? And I wonder how many times, as I thought about it this week, I have walked by a person in need. I wonder how many times I've walked by too busy to notice or too focused on a task that I had to accomplish, or maybe even too indifferent to care. Life is busy. Would you agree with that? And we have enough on our plates, don't we? If only we would bring ourselves to ask the question, what are those things in life that are more important? What are those things in life that I will be intentional about? What are those things in life that I will give myself to? If you know anything about what was important to Jesus, you know that people were always on his mind and they were always on his heart. He cared about people. He loved them deeply. And all of his waking hours were devoted to addressing the physical and the emotional and the spiritual needs of people. Everywhere he went, he rubbed shoulders with the poor, people who were abused, people whose rights had been taken advantage of, people who suffered from sickness and diseases and debilitating impairments, people who were lonely, people who were forgotten. And everywhere that Jesus went, he was filled with compassion and brought healing and restoration. Because people were most important to Jesus. If you read the Gospels, it is unmistakable that those in need had a special place in his heart. If you read the Gospel, you'll see teaching after teaching on the part of Jesus, who placed a very high premium on caring for people with unselfish acts of love and concern. Take Matthew chapter 25, for example. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus taught that when you embrace the least of these, when you give clothes to someone who is destitute, or when you visit someone who is lonely, feels forgotten and isolated in prison, or when you give food to the hungry, you are embracing that person. And when you notice them and when you care for them, Jesus says, it's like you're noticing me. It's like you're caring for me. And lest we fail to grasp the importance that Jesus placed on people in need, he tells this story captured in the Gospel of Luke, this story of this despised Samaritan who, so moved with compassion, showed unexpected. Wow, was that unexpected. Thought about it last week. Unconditional, costly love and care for this wounded and dying Jew who would never have expected a Samaritan, of all people, to have come to his aid. And all this at huge risk. Oh my. This was very costly on the part of the Samaritan. Now Jesus says, he asks this religious expert in the scriptures, he asks, which of these three, that is to say the priest, the layman, which would be the Samaritan, or the Levite, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? And this religious expert in the scriptures would have had to reluctantly, as we understood it in that context, in that day, last week, would have had to reluctantly admit that it was the hated Samaritan who had showed mercy. And then Jesus looks at this religious expert in the law and he says, now you go and you do likewise. It's a message, it's a challenge that he issues to all who hear this story, who read this story, because Christianity doesn't get any more basic than love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as the religious expert in the law rightly said, and then following that up immediately with love your neighbor as yourself. And this, friends, is a challenge that we are increasingly embracing around this place, you and I together. Last year, many of you read and discussed in small groups the book Love Does, and you took up the challenge to do it in a host of different ways, at your own initiative. A number of small groups served in local missions. A small group rebuilt a neighbor's porch and steps. A small group participated in an extreme makeover of someone's home. And an individual in our church coordinated and spearheaded a community-wide effort to make a home of a person, of a family in the community, more accessible for an adopted child who, completely unaware they were, had some disabilities. God laid it on the heart of one person here and two semi-trailers worth of building materials and home goods were filled and were sent to people who were reeling from Houston's floodwaters. Two members mentored in the Kent County Jail, and with Esther's passing, two more are now involved in the Otto County Jail. A retired truck driver counseled drivers every week at an area truck store. A woman, truck stop. A woman in our congregation provided friendship and transportation every month for a woman in our community. A small group provided a meal for those who are our guests who came to Feeding America. A young girl brought along her dance troupe and performed for our Feeding America guests as they waited. I mean, how beautiful is that? Another young girl organized and spearheaded the making and the distribution of blankets for residents in one of our care facilities in our community. I mean, what led her to do that? A middle school girl. A recent college graduate moved to Honduras just a few weeks ago to teach because God had laid it on her heart, and she responded. Many of you used your home improvement skills and gave your time for those in our congregation who had particular needs. And there are people sitting around you who are recipients of that, and they are so grateful. Our fifth grade students last year baked cookies and donated the proceeds to Pastor Fido, whose neighborhood in Guatemala had been ravaged by fire. I mean, it was their idea, totally their idea. And these are just a few of the examples. I just keep on hearing more and more stories. And I know that these are just a few because you just keep telling me more and more. And I just want to say, way to go. we are making a difference in the world around us. And what a joy it is to be in step with the heart of Jesus on this. What a joy it is. But the challenge to go and do likewise remains with us. It's a challenge for all of us to get out of our seats and get into the game. There are so many needs in our world. Do you understand this? You know this. And in our community and right here in our own church. So then the question is, if Jesus looks us in the eye and says, go and do likewise, what can I do? What can you do to make a difference, to show love and care and concern for our neighbors? Where and how might you be able to do something to help others with the love of Jesus Christ? And while celebrating and praising God for what He is doing in and among us at the same time, we know that the work is still there and the needs are great. And so we want to encourage you to think about this as we begin year two. We want to encourage you to think about this, pray about this, and think about what initiative you might be involved with. Which leads, of course, to the question, okay, where do you start? I think that the place to start is by deciding that you will embrace Jesus' challenge to you. I think the place to start is to make it a priority and say, yes, this is one thing that I will not ignore in this coming year. Because unless we have that conviction, our wonderful intentions, our good intentions will remain just that. Good intentions. So choose to embrace this challenge that Jesus gives to you as He looks you in the eye. And then pray about it. Ask God to give you eyes to see who might be lying on your path. Ask Him to help you recognize the needs and the opportunities and sometimes the courage to step out of what is most comfortable for you to make a difference in that person's life. Do you have an elderly neighbor, for example? Do you have an elderly neighbor who will have a difficult time keeping the leaves off her lawn this fall or the snow off his or her driveway this winter? That might be the place to start. It's a small place, but starting small is a good thing. Being a single parent is no easy thing, right? Who are you aware of? Try to put yourself in his or her shoes. A neighbor or a coworker who has cancer. Someone in a nursing home who could use some companionship. A child with disabilities who would just love to have a friend. Or parents who would so welcome respite care. Maybe you hear about something that just breaks your heart. That's what led three people in our congregation to get involved in jail ministry with those who are incarcerated. It's why there's a number of people who went to extraordinary lengths to repair a home this past year. It's what led a couple of couples to establish the ministry that we have now come to support, Hands of Hope, and what they do ministering to the impoverished in Guatemala. It's why a couple of people have opened their home and provided safe shelter for foster daughters. What needs do you see? It might be a situation where you need more information. So is there a website that you can go to? Are there people that you can talk to? What can you learn from other people about what it is that is really on your heart? Talk to your friends. Talk to your classmates. Talk to your small group. Talk within your family. Is there something that you can do about this? Is there one thing, choose one thing that you might be able to help with? One thing that you might be able to address in some way? Lynn Hybels offers some very helpful advice. She says this: we often think the only thing worth doing is something really big. And that makes us apprehensive. And we don't know where to begin because it's really big. And if it's not really big, it's really small. And what does that amount to? So we don't know where to begin. And so we never do begin. It's more important, she says, to begin small. Something that is realistically doable, given what's on your plate, given the schedules that you have. Do something that is small and with great love. And then you can go from there. This is her favorite quote. And I think it's pretty powerful. I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. I will not let what I cannot do prevent me from what I can do. I can do something. You can do something. And together, we can make a difference. Richard Stearns, in his book, The Hole in the Gospel, writes, Jesus is not looking for superstars here. He's only looking for common, ordinary folk who take the challenge to go and do likewise seriously. In the end, he says, Jesus simply calls Christ's followers like you and me to be faithful in what we are able to do. So, what can you do? What can you do as an individual? What can you do as a family? What might you be able to do as a small group? If you're seeing a need but don't quite know what can be done about it or how to proceed, Pastor Mark, Pastor Jack, Eric, Katie, Krista, Sarah, all of us want to help you because we've been talking a lot about this summer. We've invested a lot of conversation about this, and we want you to know that this is where our heart is. We want to resource you. If God is leading you to do something, but you aren't quite sure what that something might be, talk to one of us, and we'll help you consider the possibilities. If you need a room in the church to make this happen, if you could use some organization with your initiative, if we can help you with communication out there in the community or here within the church, if you need some equipment, perhaps even financial assistance, we can help you. And we want to help you. And we are committed to helping you. This is how serious we are about this church becoming a church made up of Christ followers who takes the challenge seriously. Share your thoughts with us. We'll try to resource you however we can so that you and so that your small group and so that your family can experience the joy of making a difference with the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to close with this. I want you to imagine with me what could happen if the 2 billion people in this world who identify themselves as Christians, who identify themselves as followers of Jesus Christ, took seriously this call to go and do likewise. I think this world would look a little different. And if that's too large of a concept to grasp, just think about, you know, what would happen if Christ followers in our little corner of this world would take seriously this call to go and do likewise, this call to put our faith into action out of sheer gratitude for what Christ has done for us, meeting us in our greatest need. What would happen if in just our small little corner, we actually said yes and did it? What if we rolled up our sleeves, each one of us, and did something as small as it might be? Think of the lives of men and women and girls and boys that would be touched. Think of the lives of men and women and girls and boys that would experience the love of Jesus through us. I have to tell you how encouraged I am here, and as a staff, we all are, that we're beginning to grasp this and live it out. And for those of you who are still sitting on the sidelines, join us, because there is such great joy in being in step with the heart of Jesus. I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something, and so can you. I will not let what I cannot do prevent me from what I can do. I can do something, as small as it may be, and you can do something. And together, we can make a difference. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the challenge of these past two Sunday mornings. Thank you for your word and how it continues to just sometimes be right there in our face. The truth of your word. Oh, Lord God, help us to be able to continue to live it out. Build your kingdom here. We sang it. We mean it. We yearn for it. And build your kingdom through each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen.